we're back on here. All right, so documentary diary entry number 5 on the documentary diary. So it's 1976, Hunt v. Lauda. Ronnie.
Yes.
I know we've talked a little bit of sports already, especially with our first ever entry into the documentary diary.
Mm-hmm.
Hunt v. Lauda, Formula One racing. How much of that have you watched in your life?
Let me think. None.
I'm probably right about there with you. And this is how ignorant I am in regards to it. Is that the same as the Indianapolis 500? Is that Formula One? I don't think it is. Let me look. Oh, to Wikipedia I go. Because this has been bugging me, and you'd think I would have looked. Indy 500. Those cars look awful similar. I'm trying to see anything that says Formula One. No, sir. Indy Racing League. The IRL. Okay. All right. So we have already learned something, Ronnie. That is the beautiful thing about the documentary diary. Formula One is not the same as what we see at the Indy 500. We see the Indy Racing League. Formula One, from what I understand, at least from this documentary that we watched, or that I watched, these racers go all around the world. So it's not like they're just in the United States. These guys go Japan. They go to Germany, Britain. That's pretty neat, you know, because you got a lot of different flavors of fan bases and a lot of different nationalities coming together to compete in this league. Now, this particular documentary was directed by a guy by the name of Matthew Whiteman. I want to go ahead and just give him props. I don't know of anything else that he's done. I'm sure anybody out there could go to IMDb or whatever and find out if he's done any other documentaries or any other films. He is the main. He did a good job. We'll just put it that way. He did a good job with this one. All right. So Formula One, we're both blissfully ignorant of what Formula One is. But when I first talked to you about this, when we were back when I first started watching this particular, when I started watching the documentary, you said that you thought this was what the movie Rush, was it Rush?
Yeah.
Was based on.
With Thor.
Hemsworth?
Yeah, Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Thor, as he's commonly known on the street when people see him walk by. Hey, Thor!
Hey, Thor! Oh, that'd be me. And then he'd be like, shut up.
Now, you watched Rush, right? Or not?
No, I didn't get a chance to watch it.
Okay, all right. Well, wow. This documentary, dude, I'm just going to go ahead and say it right up front. This was probably the best one I've watched so far.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's saying something when you go to watch something, especially a documentary about a sport or just something that you have no idea about and sometimes may not have any interest in.
Correct.
For them to hook you, they did. They hooked me, man. They did a great job of making it interesting. I didn't really elaborate on the title here. We said Hunt v. Lauda, and it's like the greatest rivalry or Hunt versus Lauda, F1's greatest racing rivals. This came out in 2013, which apparently is the same year that I think the movie Rush came out. This could have been something on the DVD. I don't know. James Hunt. Never heard of either of these guys. Okay. I'm not aware of either of who these dudes were. 1976, that's a couple years before I was born. I think you're in the same boat with me.
Yeah.
So this wasn't like something that set the world on fire that I would have been like, oh yeah, I know who James Hunt is. When I think of race cars like that, I think the only name that I could really think of off the top of my head is I go back to the Indy 500 there's a popular name.
Andretti?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I think he actually ran Formula One too.
I think he did. Yeah.
Okay. So these guys, you know, saying it's the greatest racing rivals. And I don't know who this, you know, I have no idea who this is, who these two are. So we get in here. Let me talk a little bit about James Hunt. James Hunt is the flamboyant young up and comer from Britain. He's, if I could liken him to somebody, he's a sports star that loves the ladies. How about we put it that way? Loves the ladies, partying, okay? He's racing, having a good time, and he's loving every minute the fact that he's in the limelight and gets the chance to run really fast in a race car. So if he's got his foot pedal to the metal, he's living it up, all right? Now we have Niki Lauda, who is affectionately known as the Rat or King Rat. And
that poor guy.
Oh, wow. Well, you saw the picture that I sent you. I mean, wow. Just because what they're showing you there, he does look pretty, he has quite the overbite. Well, that's probably putting it nicely.
He does look very rat-esque.
Yeah. He does. And here's the thing. People call him that to his face. Mm-hmm. In behind the scenes. That's what he was known as to other drivers. And Hunt was no different. Hunt called him, "Hey, Rat." The thing is that this guy was an Austrian. Very, very technical when it came to racing. So he knew his stuff. He wasn't,
Was he Austrian or was he, are you talking about Hunt or Rat?
Lauda, the Rat. Yes, King Rat was Austrian.
Yeah.
Now, very, very technical guy. You know, he raced for. This was Ferrari. Okay. Now, when you get into racing, I don't know how much you know about racing, Ronnie, but you know, you got your racers that are out there putting on a show, but the cars that they are driving they're out there representing a company. Okay. Right. So, in other words, Hunt was driving the McLaren F1, racing for that company, the McLaren, I guess I should say. Niki Lauda was running for Ferrari. Enzo Ferrari, I think, was the name of the guy that actually owned the company. Kind of like what our NASCAR guys do. They run Chevy, Ford, whatever. So when you had a driver, you know, when a company like that put a driver in there, they want a driver that wins. And Lauda was a guy who was technical. I'm going to use that word 1,000 more times. he knew his craft, and he didn't party. He had a good time, but you know, he wasn't out there partying like Hunt was. He was actually coming off. This is 1976 that this documentary is focusing on. He's coming off 1975 as a champion. When I see these racing, you know, when I see these races that they're showing, you know, the only thing I can think of is freaking Pole Position. Do you remember Pole Position? The Atari game.
Yes, I do very well.
Okay. And that's for some reason, that's all that stuck out in my head during this documentary. Simple point system here. Okay, we're going to this documentary focused on the season, the 1976 season of Formula One racing. What was the big deal? Obviously, something important had to have happened during this particular year. Especially between these two guys. So they give us a breakdown of the scoring system, which is pretty easy. If you win, you get 9 points, I think. Second, you get 6, 4 for third, and then you get all the way down to where you, like, if you're in sixth place, you get a point, okay? So obviously the most points at the end of the year, at the end of the season, you're the winner. Pretty simple stuff. Mm. Most of the first half of the season, Niki Lauda has taken off. Dude's just smoking everybody. He's doing great. I mean, at one point he's got double the points that James Hunt does. And there's some great bits of controversy. Most of the interview is them talking to, I would assume it's like the kind of like the pit crew manager, the guy that, or the driver manager of these companies. So they got one guy that was over Hunt and the other guy who worked for Ferrari. And those two are the main guys that they talk to during this period of time. It's cutthroat, okay? Now these drivers may be friends off the track, but when it comes to being on the track, number one, they're obviously they're great competitors, but they also have these companies and these managers that are above them that if they think they can get away with something, I shouldn't say get away with something, but if they think that the other team may have done something against the rules, after the race they can like appeal it and have them review it.
Okay.
Or something, you know, something crazy could happen. And the guy that I really wish I could remember his name, but the guy who was the manager over James Hunt, he was hilarious. You know what a shoot is when it comes to wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
These guys were like, accusing the other team of, well, we're over in Italy, and obviously Ferrari, Italy is the home of Ferrari, so the judges are going to do this, 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 and this.
Right.
At one point, you know, this one, James Hunt's vehicle gets, he wins the race, goes back into the pits, they do a post-race inspection, and supposedly his car is like 2 centimeters wider than what it has to be.
Oh my gosh.
They're like, oh, well, we got to take those points, and they give them to freaking Niki Lauda. So, I mean, Nicky's just running away with this thing. Yeah, as I said, halfway through the season, Hunt's, Lauda has doubled Hunt's points. He's up 52 to 26, okay? So he's doing really well. He's doing very, very well. There's a point where they talk about this race where they're in that the British Grand Prix, okay? James Hunt's home field advantage, I guess you would say. And right out the gate, these cars take off and there's this wreck. Immediately happens. And as it's going on, people can't see James Hunt's car. And they think that James Hunt is not going to make it back onto the track. The lap that hadn't even occurred. There's a lot of downtime while they're waiting to clean up this track. And the crowd starts going nuts because they want James Hunt back onto the track. The guy said it was unlike anything he'd ever seen, where a racing crowd. Now, we might be used to something like that in the States, but this is British.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is Britain. Specifically, you know, James Hunt's manager said it was almost like a riot. People were throwing cans onto the track.
Jeez.
And saying, you know, he says it was not very British. The British are supposed to be so reserved. But finally, James Hunt gets in his car, gets back onto the track, runs this great race, right? I don't know if he wins or what, but he does very well. They go back into, you know, the race completes itself, and sure enough, Ferrari appeals the decision because supposedly, when this wreck happens, rules say that you've got to go all the way around the track, okay?
Okay.
And then pull into your pit stall. When this wreck happens, James pulls off and then takes a shortcut across the track while the caution's going on and then comes back around. It's appealed. We don't know what the results are till 3 or 4 races on down the road where they actually – and they take they take the points away from Hunt again, and he's that much farther behind.
I'm pretty familiar with NASCAR.
Yeah, okay.
And kind of the point system that it has. I'll say kind of familiar, not really – you know, I'm not like crazy familiar with it.
Oh, trust me. I understand. It's confusing.
This sounds way more political.
Oh, dude. I kind of already spoiled it, but let me get to, in a couple seconds, we'll talk about these politics here real quick.
Okay.
Because when the appeal process occurs, there is a – Ferrari knew what they were doing. In fact, so well – I'll explain that here in a second. Okay. We come up to Nuremberg, Germany. All right?
Okay. Right.
They have this thing called the Nuremberg Ring, and I know I'm probably not pronouncing that right. Nuremberg, somethingberg. They got this 14-mile track. Now, we're used to like a half mile, a mile, 2 mile track or something like that. These tracks are huge, okay? This track is 14 miles. It's cross countryside, bends all over, very much like a road course in NASCAR. Race is about to start, and it's pouring down the rain. Back in the day, they definitely were not too safety oriented for being what we see nowadays for many speed sports, I guess you would say. They're trying to debate on whether they're going to cancel this race or not, but they decide to go forward with it because apparently it's raining here, but on other parts of the track it's freaking dry because the track is so big. It's not raining over there. You know, 10 right. miles on down the road or whatever. So they decide to go on with the track, or excuse me, one with the race. Now, when it comes to making decisions like that, your pit crew or your crew that you're dealing with has to make one of the big things that they have to decide on is the type of tires that you're going to use. Because if it's a wet track, obviously the kind of tires that you want to have are something that's going to grip and pull moisture, wick moisture away or whatever. It's going to determine what kind of tires you use.
Right.
Now, the fact that you got rain on some of the track and dry on some of the other, you know, that decision is going to affect how you're going to run your race and how you're going to place. Niki Lauda, who makes this decision to, you know, they go with a certain type of tire. And a little ways into the race, Niki Lauda wrecks his car, okay? And when I say wreck, that's really understating what happens. He loses control of his car, slams into a tree, comes back out onto the track, and his car is burst into flames.
Oh, jeez.
All right? Another car, I think, hits him, hits his rear end and spins him around, and then another car hits him from the front. All right? And he's in...
From what I read, it was like a solid minute, wasn't it?
Dude's in the fire for a minute, just basically in his fire suit. Thank goodness they had a fire suit. Breathing in all this gas, poisonous gas. You know, his car's burst into flame, and they finally get him out of there. Obviously, he's not going to finish this race. It's not like he's... they immediately rush him to the hospital. It's very, very close that, you know, he's almost going to die. The race world is staggered by this. You know, this guy's was a previous champion. Now he's laying in a hospital bed. Ferrari is beside itself, trying to figure out, well, what are we going to do? He was leading the points at that point in time. Ferrari cannot bring a championship in if their driver's laying in the hospital.
Right.
They immediately have to start thinking about pulling in another driver. And I assume that if your driver is not driving that car, that driver does not get those points and cannot become champion. Or I assume that if you bring in a driver, I don't know. All I can tell you is that there were no more points awarded to Niki Lauda as he lay in a hospital bed fighting for his life.
It was pretty serious. When I knew you were going to watch this, I read up on it. Kind of like his helmet was stuck on his head and it was in flames.
Oh, wow.
Basically, I mean, you can see from the pictures, and anybody that's listening will have to look him up. Niki Lauda, he was burned pretty bad. And yeah. Let's see. Most of his right ear, he lost most of his right ear and the hair on his right side of his head. His eyebrows, his eyelids. He lost his eyelids. He chose to limit reconstructive surgery to replacing the eyelids and getting them to work properly. And he's always worn a cap to cover scars on his head ever since then. Let's see. He was wearing a modified helmet. The foam had compressed and it slid off his head. That's what it was after the accident, leaving his face exposed to the fire.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I thought it was stuck, but it slid off. Actually, it was the opposite. They said he was conscious and able to stand immediately after the accident. He later lapsed into a coma.
His body obviously went into shock sometime after that. I mean, had to.
Suffered severe burns to his head and inhaled toxic gases that damaged his lungs and blood.
They mentioned that in the documentary. You know, after they cleaned off the track and they finished the race, everybody had heard that, oh, Nicky's okay. He's talking. He's fine. He's talking to people. And then, of course, later that night, they start hearing that he went into a freaking coma at the hospital. It was not good. But what's even crazier, 40 days later, Enzo Ferrari somehow convinces Niki Lauda, who's had this miraculous recovery where he's able to stand. He's been, you know, 40 days later, he's after the accident. He convinces Niki to get back into the car and drive to try and get this championship. Now, here's the thing. I say miraculous recovery. It's not like this guy was just, oh, ready to go. I mean, there were times where they were saying he would drive and he would pull his helmet off from where the burns were still healing. He had blood covering his face.
Gee.
I mean, the guy had to have been...
destroyed. I mean, there's no other word for it.
Yeah. Listen, the Germans are a different breed. The Austrians, he's going to get it done. That's his plan. And he's still got a lead in the points. Hunt's closing in, but he's still got a lead. So I'm sure Ferrari's like, listen, if you can do it, go ahead and do it. Get in there. If you can drive and he somehow willed himself back. And of course, the Formula One world is just turned on its ear. It cannot believe the fact that this guy is now back in a car a mere 30 days later, which I think only one or two races had lapsed since he freaking had this accident. Everybody reveres him now. It's amazing that he's able to do what he's doing. So two races after the accident, and of course when Nicky gets back into the car, Hunt is now behind Nicky by 2 points in the standings. All right, so Hunt's made some ground, but he's got 2 points still.
It's amazing that he went all that time and then just 2 points.
Yeah, just 2 points.
He didn't overtake him.
Nicky's back in the saddle again. They return to a race, and it's in Italy. Now, we were talking about how you mentioned politics. Mm-hmm. All right. The Italy race rolls around, and the appeal is now about to be ruled upon. Before anybody can do anything, Ferrari sends over Nicky to go talk to whoever's going to be ruling on this appeal. And, of course, if you hear the guy, the manager of James Hunt, he said it was obvious what their plan was. They were going to send Nicky in. They weren't going to, like, have him try and bribe him or anything like that.
Right.
But he comes in, and he talks to him, and he shakes their hand, and, you know, how you doing? Clearly, now that they've – this is his words. Now that they've touched the hand of Saint Nicky – they're probably going to lean towards Ferrari's side of things in this appeal. And sure enough, that's what happened. They deducted those race points from him, from Hunt. Now he's even further behind. All right. Now, there's another story here for this race that happens in Italy. It's raining again.
Okay.
Yeah. This is one of those races. He's in his home. Niki Lauda's in his hometown, and it's raining again. And it starts to mess with his head. So much, in fact, that he takes one lap around the track, and then he's like, man, I don't know if I can do this. I really don't know if I can. But I think he ends up trying to finish the race. He powers through it. And then we finally get to the last race of the season. Niki Lauda is enjoying a 3-point lead over Hunt at this point. Now, what's got to happen here is Hunt's got to beat him by 4 points somehow. Okay? He's got to beat Lauda by 4 points in order to become the champion.
Right.
So, all right, so they line up ready to go in Japan, and it's another monsoon. I mean, it's pouring down the rain. So much, in fact, that okay, I guess the way that this works is Nicky and James are on the same, like on a safety committee. If there is a concern about the track or whatever, a group of drivers that are on the safety committee get together and they vote as to whether they're going to race or not. Okay. So Nicky and James are in this they're in this conversation. Now, you would think that. Okay, it's raining, and you have the choice as to whether to go out and race. If you're Nicky, one of two things is probably swaying your opinion here. Either the fact that it's raining, and you might have some issues with the fact that you just kind of almost lost your life in a race where it was raining.
Right.
That might be number one. And number two, if this race doesn't go on, you're the champion.
Right.
Okay. James Hunt's in the same room, and they're discussing this, all right? So Nicky obviously says, I don't want to race. I don't think this is a good, you know, the way that it's raining outside, this is insane. I don't think we should race. James Hunt is sitting in that same room and says, I agree.
What?
Yes. James Hunt looks at him and says, you're right. That is crazy. It is raining out there like you wouldn't believe. We should not, it's absolutely 100%. It's dangerous. We should not race. Now, James, he has a little bit of a stake in this. If the race goes on, obviously he has the chance to win, but he's sitting there telling them, no, I don't think it's a good idea.
Right. There's something to that.
It's genuine. I could tell you it's genuine. He honestly believed that it was raining hard enough and dangerous enough that they should not run this race in Japan. I think like 2 hours, 2 or 3 hours pass, and the rain isn't letting up. Some guy comes in. He says, all right, guys, time to get to your cars. Nikki looks outside, and it's pouring down the rain. It's still pouring down the rain like it was when they first made the original decision to not do the race. And he's like, what are you talking about? And they say, well, TV, television, because we're broadcasting this, and this is the final race of the season, and it is, there's so much that's been going on this season, this race has to freaking go on.
Oh, my God.
Nikki can't believe it. And James, of course, they can't believe it. Now, they show footage of this race, dude, all right? They all get in their cars. It's raining like it's insanity out there. When they pull off and they hit the gas, the only cars you can see, you know, there's like 15 cars there, and then once the green light hits, the only cars you see are the two cars in the front. The rest of them are masked by nothing but water spray from the tires.
Right.
You cannot see. The visibility is zero. Could you imagine being in a car and trying to follow a car that's going like 70 or 80 miles per hour with tires as wide as like you wouldn't believe, spraying water about 6 feet into the air? That's what it looked like. So this race had to go on. Nikki takes one lap around, pulls in, gets out of his car, and his crew's like, what are you doing? What's going on? And Nikki's like, I can't race. I'm not racing. It is too dangerous. Are you hurt? Is something wrong? Nope. I'm not racing. So he gets out of his car.
Wow.
And the Enzo, or the Ferrari guys, his manager is like, I looked in his eyes. He says there was no getting him into that car. There was pure terror in his eyes. So he was very, very afraid for his own life because of the conditions of that racetrack. So sure enough, Hunt stays out there. It clears up. He starts running a race. He comes in third and gets enough points to overtake Nikki and take the championship. So one crazy, crazy season. He was in fifth most of the race, and turns out he ends up getting third and just puts him enough. I think that's the 4 points that he needs, and he ends up taking it home. So this particular documentary, first off, let me tell you, it was riveting. They did a great job showing the emotion and the
drama.
There you go. When Nikki got back into his car in Italy, they focused on his wife. His wife just went through this horrendous ordeal of watching her husband lay in a freaking bed covered with gauze. I mean, you didn't see anything. His face, he looked like a freaking mummy, you know? And she watched him get back into the car. And one of the first questions that somebody asked him is like, you know, did you want Nikki to retire? Did you want him to stop racing after this accident? And she said, I can't make him, you know, I can't make him retire. It's up to Nikki. If he wants to retire, right, he will. So, yeah, there's a lot of drama. The two guys, the two managers of each, you know, the Ferrari manager and the McLaren manager, those guys, it was so funny because they took jabs at each other at one point. The guy at Ferrari's like, well, I'm not surprised that he doesn't believe that appeal should have been there because he doesn't know the rules. And dude, this is 1976. You'd think they would have stopped like taking jabs at each other, but that is not the case, dude. These guys still had it in for each other, and it was fun to watch. And man, I really now want to watch that movie because that movie Rush is based off of these two guys.
Ron Howard.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I've got to find it because I don't know if it's on Netflix or Hulu.
I don't know that it's on Netflix yet.
Like I said, one of the best ones I've watched so far. So I'm gonna give it a thumbs up. I definitely recommend it. If you guys get a chance, watch it. I don't care if you like Formula One racing or not. It's riveting.
I was gonna say, I really want to watch it. I don't know jack about Formula One racing.
You don't need to. Not in something like this. I mean, just like the one guy said, the point system's real simple, and they keep track of the points for you. And they, you know, that's all I need is somebody. Okay, here's the points for this race and this race. High drama. You know, you got your life, death stuff in here. Yeah. You got two characters that are over the top. There's some great, like, I don't want to call it B footage, but there's some great footage of, like, what nightlife was like for Formula One racers. They had a party, and you see...
Every night.
Oh, dude, I told you about James Hunt. I mean, the guy, yeah. He was a ladies' man. I mean, he's up there, like, trying to give a speech, and all of a sudden this chick, like, jumps up. It's the 70s, man. It's the late 70s. But this chick, like, jumps up and, like, starts, I mean, just making out with him in the middle of a speech. Oh. And then he smiles and grabs her on her butt and sits her back down. And, I mean, it's... If some guy's doing a keg stand over in the corner, this is like, well, this is interesting. But it's very best one so far. It's going to take a lot to try and beat this one, just due to the fact that, you know, I was able to be immersed in it pretty quickly. I've watched it twice, once just to kind of pass time because I was like, man, I'm not going to be interested in this freaking Formula One. Geez, here we go. I'm going to walk on a treadmill. I'll watch it for half an hour. And I was like, man, this is really good. And then, of course, I watched it again to take the notes. But it shows you the kind of caliber of racer that Niki Lauda was to be able to go through something like that, get right back into a car 40 days later.
That takes determination, man, and just something. I don't know. I don't know that I would be able to do that because I would be scared witless. You know, after, you know, almost dying.
Yeah.
And it was something that he loved too. So it's, that would be such a hard thing to do.
It would. Kind of a morbid curiosity that caught my attention was the fact that they were doing all these interviews and not once did I see, you know, I saw a 2013 Niki Lauda. I saw 2013 James Hunt's sister, but in absence of all these recent, you know, interviews, or James Hunt was not on the documentary other than...
He actually died.
That's right. He passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you didn't know that.
No, I was so curious. I was like, man, what happened to this guy? I have a feeling he died.
Yeah.
Did you see how he did it? How he died?
I read about it, but...
I mean, it was pretty simple. It wasn't anything like... spectacular or crazy.
I didn't think so. He.
This is a heart attack.
At a young age, wasn't it?
Yeah, 43. But they were saying, like, this dude. Hey. They said that it is kind of weird because they said he would, like, cycle to his job. So it's not like he. It didn't. I don't know if he wasn't fit. So there could have been. He might have had some kind of. I was expecting drugs at, like, 20. You know, 29 or something like that. I thought, well, this guy overdosed on something. Because that's the kind of lifestyle it seemed like he lived. But that wasn't the case. He became a broadcaster shortly after that and then passed away at a young age, 43, by a heart attack. So that's pretty crazy. I was going to say...
This is wild.
It's, you know, could be one of many things. Niki, I think, went on to win another championship in the 80s. I think I said, like, the early 80s, Niki Lauda won one more championship. James Hunt, unfortunately, never won a championship again. That was his, I think that was his one and only. So, anyway, entry number 5. Very good stuff. Very good stuff.
Yeah, dude.
Okay. Got any questions? Anything else you want to add to that?
No. I mean, like, I was pretty quiet because it was really interesting to listen to, you know.
The way it went down.
The way it went down, yeah. Thank you. The stuff that they probably, I mean, they were friends too, weren't they?
Yeah, they were friends. They were friends outside. I mean, they hung out together and as Niki put it when they were talking to him, they were simpatico. so they were. He said he liked him. He said he liked James as a friend outside of it. One thing I forgot to mention was the fact that before that Nuremberg race, the Nuremberg Ring where he had that accident, that particular race, Niki had brought it up to vote to actually have the whole race knocked off. Like, don't even race it. I don't know if it was because of the weather or if it was just because the track was so dangerous.
Right.
And he lost by one vote. So they kept kept the race on there, and then, of course, he had his accident.
Yeah.
But up to that point in Formula One, this was the other little factoid that they brought up. Somebody had died every year. A driver had died every year up to that point. So imagine that. You're a Formula One racer, and you know if there's one driver at least every year, one of your friends, one of your buddies, or even you, maybe the guy that bites it that year. That's how bad the safety precautions were. I mean, they just
They just didn't care.
It wasn't strict in any way, shape, or form. I don't know if it was not that popular of a sport up until that year, because clearly what happened with Nikki put that sport on the map.
Right.
I mean, when you've got tension like that in a season, I'm sure that, you know, a lot of people are going to start paying attention.
Yeah. But,
okay. All right, well, entry 5 done and over with. My hip hop will pop this shot. My hip hop will pop this shot.